Our Father. Let me begin by asking, how many people here this morning still have fathers? You still have your biological father alive. How many? Not many people. What did you all do to your fathers? Very few. I thought there would be many of them. So there are. Let me see those hands again. It looks very few to me, actually. Okay. There are many people in my camp. So there is no need for me to be jealous this morning that I don't have my biological father anymore. Some of you still do. How many of you, while growing up, will say, I grew up knowing a loving father? I grew up knowing a loving father. How many? Raise the hand. So my dad was there. He was present. He was a loving father. Many more hands there. One more question I'll ask. How many of you that are, this is to men right now, how many of you that have children will say, I am a loving father? You, where is the child? You cannot tell yet. You cannot tell yet. Put your hands down. That one week old baby also is raising his hand. How many people here will say, I am a loving father? I'm a loving father. No, put your hands down. Where is the child? People that have children. You have children and you've proven that I am a loving father. Let's do that again. This is proving very difficult this morning. No, I don't want prophecy. Real one. Please raise it again. Please. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, that's very, very few. Oh, there are some here. Who? Okay. I think you qualify. How many will say both? I had a loving father, and I am also a loving father right now. Now, it's a tragedy, really, that many times fathers are missing. That's why I was asking the question, how many people grew up in a home where there was a present, loving father? And I give actually a lot of credence to every woman that I've had to, and there are some among us this morning, that I've had to single-handedly raise children by themselves. It's never God's design that a woman should raise children by herself without the presence of a father. And when a woman has to do that, then she's going to have to become a man in some way. Be the nurturing mother that she's made to be. Be also the father that she's not naturally made to be. But it's so beautiful when there is a present and loving father in a house. And this morning I speak to us about God, our Father. And I began in the natural. Because many times, people that have never known a natural, biological, loving father find it difficult to understand and relate with the concept of God as Father. But this morning, every one of us, either you've had a physical father or you've not had a present father, everybody will be able to receive the revelation of God as your Father in the name of Jesus. Let me begin by asking a question. Who is a father? Who is a father? Four things very quickly I will give us to lay the foundation to who is a father as we walk our way towards the revelation today of God, our Father. God. Everybody say with me, God, my Father. I didn't hear that very well. Everybody say with me, God, my Father. So the very first thing about who is a father is, a father is one who is at the root of your existence. I have a journey to go today. I'll take my steps one by one. I begin by asking the question, who is a father? A father is one who is at the root of your existence. By father this morning, I'm talking about a biological father, a spiritual father, a professional father. I'm sure there are a few other areas of life where you can point to fatherhood as well. In any of those areas, a father will be somebody who is at the root of your existence. Your biological father is at the root of your physical existence. A spiritual father would have done something to kickstart your spiritual existence. Same, many of us have professions. You have mentors, perhaps in your professions, that are professional fathers. They are at the root of your existence in those areas. That's the first thing about a father this morning. A father knows how it started. This is what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. Let me read to us very quickly. Look at what Paul said to them. He said, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ," he says, "yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel." Writing to the Corinthian church, Paul was saying to them, when we speak about your spiritual life, he was saying, "I can call myself a father." He says, because you have many instructors. So don't mix up the instructors that come somewhere along the line. Don't mix that up. He said, you may have 10,000 of instructors, but he said, you do not have many fathers. Sometimes a father, because Paul said, when he comes to the gospel, he said, "For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." So he was a spiritual father to them. One who is at the root of your existence. Number two, very quickly, a father is one who loves his offspring due to the fatherly connection. Now, many people love you. You have friends who love you. You have colleagues who love you. You have a boss at work who loves you, and different kinds of love. But what I'm talking about here is one who loves you, it's a different kind of love. It's the father's love. It is a love that is the result of the fatherly bond. One who loves his offspring due to the fatherly connection. I'm trying to say, who is a father? A father is one who is there at the root of your existence. Because of that root that he's been part of your life from the beginning, he loves you like nobody else does. He loves you with a fatherly love that is like no other love. He loves you because of that fatherly connection. That love, still on this second point, that love makes him provide for his offspring with all of his means. I'm talking about the love of the father this morning. A father is there at the beginning. He knows the story from the beginning. Because of that connection, he loves you with this fatherly love. That fatherly love makes him to provide for his offspring with all of his means. You will not have it only if he does not have it. That's a father. That love also makes him protect his offspring with all of his means. You will only be in danger and in trouble if the thing that is against you is more than him. I'm talking about a father this morning. A father, he loves you. He loves his offspring because of that fatherly connection. That love makes him do two critical things. He protects with all of his means. He provides with all of his means. A father this morning. Number one, I said, is at the root of your existence. Number two, I said, he loves you differently because of that fatherly connection. Number three, a father is one who has plans for the future of his children. A father, God said it, said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." A father is one who has plans. And I'm sure all of you that are natural parents can relate with all of these things I'm talking about this morning. A father is one who has plans for the future of his children. If I look at these three, and I'm sure most those of you that are really following me can already immediately come to a summary right now. A father is one who the past, the present, and the future of your life depend on him. Because I said he's at the root of it. Right now, today, he loves you. For tomorrow, he has a plan. So a father, my friends, is that one whom the past, the present, and the future depend on him. The root, the love, and the plan. That's what I want you to remember. When I think of a father, three things I want you to remember. The root, the love, the plan. Everybody say with me, the root. Talk to me, people. Say the root. Is remember where that is coming from? Is at the root of my existence, at the very beginning. I can't call myself who I am without him. Is at the root of it, the love. Everybody say with me, the love. And then the plan. The root, the love, and the plan. These three, the past, the present, the future. These three make him the father that he is. If you understand that up to this point, give me a good amen. Because now I begin to preach. Lay the foundation. Let's now begin to look at this morning. Matthew 23. I'll read in verse 9. Just one verse. And that verse will set me on my journey this morning. Having sort of given us, naturally speaking, who is a father? What does a father do? And I said, remember it with the root, the love, and the plan. Let's now go and begin to look in scriptures and find God our Father. And the place I want to begin is in the words of Jesus. Matthew 23 and in verse 9. Matthew 23, verse 9. Look at Jesus here. Everybody found it? Did everybody find it? Okay. He says, Jesus talking, giving an instruction. He said, and call no man your father. You know, I began and I was asking how many people have fathers. Some of you were raising your hands and you were looking at those of us who don't have biological fathers and you were trying to pose. All of us are in the same camp. Jesus said here, he said, call no man your father upon the earth. Why? Why? Why would he instruct us? Haven't allowed us to be born into families? Haven't allowed us to grow and to know somebody as father? Now he instructs. And as we begin this month of December, leading us into 2020, he instructs us this morning and he says to us, don't call anybody on earth your father. Why? He says, because one is your father. Everybody say with me this morning, one. Talk to me, everybody. Say one. Only he says, the reason is we can't have two fathers. The reason is because we cannot multiply fathers. Like Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 4, he said, you may have many instructors. He said, but you do not have many fathers. And it looks to me like God this morning is putting the stick in the ground and he's laying claim. And he said, if I'm going to be your father, I'm going to be a single father. If I'm going to be your father, I'm going to be a father all by myself. So he said to them here, he said, for one is your father which is in heaven. When it comes to your life, when it comes to your existence, when it comes to your destiny, when it comes to the very existence and the very being of who you are, God instructs us this morning. He said, I want you to live life with this mentality. Nobody on earth should be called your father. He says, for only one person is your father. May God give us a revelation of this morning. He says, for only one person. He says, basically, he's saying, nobody should occupy that place in your life. On the other hand, he's saying to us this morning, don't occupy that place for anyone. So, what's the job of a natural parent? I learned this very early in my life as a parent. My job as a parent is to be the first father that my kids get to know. Their first introduction to the very concept of fatherhood is me. But very quickly, as they begin to understand, I need to begin to point them away and say, I don't qualify to be your father. I really cannot take the place of your father. I've shown you, I've given you an idea of what a father is. But indeed, the same one who is my father is your father as well. He said, nobody should occupy that place in your life. Neither should you occupy that place for anybody. Some of you this morning, you occupy that place for people. Some of you this morning, there are people in this world that if anything happened to them, if, say, financial need comes in their lives, they think of you, they call you, and immediately you go and help them, and you think you are doing good. In many cases, what you are doing is taking the place of God. God said to them, Matthew 23, verse 9, I need you to remember it. Jesus said, he said, call no man on earth your father. He says, because only one person is your father, which is in heaven. And I want the church this morning to begin to shift this and say, God alone qualifies to be called my father. Nobody else takes that place in my life. I do not occupy that place for any other person. One is my father. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? Let me go and read very quickly about 3 or 4 other scriptures that will lay the foundation, and then I'll come back and begin to deal with, if we understand him as father, what are the things we're going to begin to see in our lives? Everything we'll talk about this month, the next coming 4 or 5 Sundays, this is the foundation of it. If I know him as my father, and I have a revelation of him as my father, then the other things that we have laid out, I just come as a son and take them. But if I don't know him as a father, all those other things become a struggle. So if you understand today very well, you are able to pass the exams that are coming in the next couple of weeks. It says, call no man on earth your father. This is my territory, God is saying. I speak to somebody this morning that has felt like life has been unfair to you. You felt like you've been alone. There is a call from God. God is saying, if you let me, I'll show you how to have a good father. If you allow me, I'll be a father unto you. And I'm calling everybody this morning to a revelation of the fatherhood of God. Everybody say with me, God. Say, let me hear it from everybody. Say, God, my father. A couple of scriptures we'll read that need you to stretch out your spiritual antenna this morning as I look at these scriptures. Because there will be revelation coming to you. Galatians chapter 4, we'll read. Then we'll read in Romans chapter 8, a couple of verses. Then we will go and do a journey quickly through the book of John. We'll look at how Jesus, in his earthly ministry, evolved on the concept of fatherhood, the fatherhood of God. We'll look at that through the book of John. So we'll start in Galatians, we'll go to Romans, and then we'll go to the book of John. And this will sort of bring a revelation as I speak this morning, because I speak the word of God, there is revelation in this house in the name of Jesus. There is deep understanding in this house in the name of Jesus. Way beyond the words that I speak this morning, there is understanding of the ages in this house right now in the name of Jesus. And because there is understanding, there is healing in the house as well this morning. I said, because there is understanding, there is deliverance in the house this morning. Just as I speak this today, the Lord spoke to me. He said, there are some of those nagging pain and nagging disturbances in the human body. I'm not talking about very huge things right now. I'm talking about those nagging things, some pain in the shoulder, some pain in the knee, some pain in the back, nagging things. How many people understand what I'm talking about when I say nagging things? As I speak this morning, don't those nagging things shift and move in the name of Jesus? Are you believing that this morning? Because I've come to understand that it is the power in the word of God, the faith in the heart of men that changes things. So even though I'm not talking, my subject today is not healing, that's coming on the 29th of December. Right now, this morning, it's happening as we speak in the name of Jesus. It's happening as we speak. So Galatians chapter 4, and I'll take it from verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, we're talking about the revelation of God as your father. That everybody leaves church this morning, and there is this thing that you know, God is my father. And there are many things that will begin to flow out of that revelation in your spirit. Your prayer will change. Your Bible reading will change. The very concept of how you see your challenges in life, they will change. Just because of that revelation of God is my father, which is flowing right now in the name of Jesus. Okay, verse 4, Galatians chapter 4. Everybody is looking in their Bibles. Everybody, every spirit is being taught right now. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5, why did he send him? To redeem them that were under the law. Some people still want to stay under the law. He said, God sent forth his son to redeem them that were under the law, so that we might receive Receive what? Receive what, people? That we might. Now, listen to this. This is how the Lord taught me this scripture. Let me teach you that way. God said to me, he said, if I send my son, like the Bible says in verse 4, it says God sent his son. If I send my son so that I can receive servants, it's a bad deal. If I send my son and in return for my son, I get slaves, it's a bad deal. I sent my son so that I can get sons. I thought I'll get a better amen to that if you understand what I'm talking about. It says, let's read it again. Verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Verse 5. He sent forth his son to redeem them that were under the law, so that we that were under the law will receive the adoption of sons. Then, going on in verse 6. So you understand, God gave a son to get back many sons. So, in verse 6 now, it says, and because you are sons. Now, let me say something to you at this point. Almost everything, is the church listening to me this morning? Almost every promise of scripture, almost everything that God put in the Bible, particularly the New Testament, follows this verse 6 here. Notice the first thing it said there. It says, and because you are sons. In this particular scripture, he said it is because you are sons. That is the reason he sent forth the spirit of his son. But can I say to you this morning, and we will see it in many other scriptures, it is because you are sons that every other thing that happens in the New Testament happens. It is on the revelation that you are a son that you receive every other thing that you receive. So in this particular case, why did God send forth the spirit of his son? Why? Because we are sons. If we were not sons, he will not send the spirit of his sons to live inside servants. Am I talking to people this morning? So let's read the scripture again. And because we are sons. You know, in the Muslim world, they actually do believe that the Bible is an authentic book, particularly the Old Testament. The one thing, and we'll see in some of the scriptures if I have the time to read them this morning, the one thing they contend with and they cannot believe with us is that Jesus is the Son of God. They say God has no son. We are the servants of God. And the more I saw that that is their concept, the more I understood the uniqueness of the Christian faith. And then if I now say I am a Christian, and the one thing that, you know, I have some of the people that I've related with in the last couple of years. Ibrahim is who? Abraham. All of the things that, all of the stories that we have in the Bible, they have in the Quran. But one thing they just can't take is Son of God. Nay. Even the Jews, like we will see, they just couldn't understand that. And you as a Christian today, if you miss that, you are missing the very core of what makes this faith unique. It says, because you are sons. Everybody say with me this morning, because I'm a son. Let nobody be thinking male, female. There's no male, female, what we're talking about here. Because we are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his sons into our hearts. And when the spirit of his son came into our hearts, what is he doing? What is he doing, people? He's crying. The word Abba also means father. So when the spirit comes into your heart, the job he has come to do is to lay claim to the fatherhood of God. So the spirit of his son comes into your heart, and the first thing he's saying is not speaking in tongues. The first thing he's saying is not how you can call the demon or call fire upon your enemies and all that. The first thing he's saying is crying from within you, and he's saying, Father, Father. He's calling God Father from inside you. Let's read verse 7 in addition to it. It says, wherefore thou, everybody make sure you understand, let there be a revelation in your spirit this one. Wherefore thou art no more. One time we were servants. People say, oh, we are servants of God. No, we are first of all sons of God. Sons who choose to serve. We are serving sons. So the Bible says here, wherefore thou art no more a what? Talk to me, people. You are no more a what? But a what? We are no more a what? But we are a what? And he says, and if you are a son, that is the question. If you are a son, and many people are in church, but they haven't actually become sons. He says, and if you are a son, then you are what? Remember I said, all of the things we'll be talking about in the next couple of weeks, there are these things that are our inheritance. But they only come if you are a son. If you are a son. Do you understand some of this morning? Go back home and read this all over again. The Holy Spirit is inside us and is laying claim to the fatherhood of God. Romans chapter 8. Let's pile it on. Romans 8. I'll take it from verse 14. Everybody say with me, God, my Father. Oh, can I hear that better this morning? Say with me, God, my Father. Romans chapter 8. I'll take it from about verse 14. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Thank you. It says from verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are the what? Now, from what we just read in Galatians, this scripture means something to you now. Because you don't understand, you remember that it was only because you are sons that he even sent the Spirit to start with. When the Spirit now came, he now begins to lead you because you are a son of God. Okay? Verse 15. It says, for you have not received... If you have a Bible that you can mark, I want you to do some markings right now. If it's electronic, it's even better. You can use a color. Choose a color. You're going to mark some things in your Bible in verse 15 for me. For you, actually. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage. I want you to mark those three words, spirit of bondage. Choose a color and mark spirit of bondage. Can everybody see that? Talk to me, everybody. Can you see that this morning? It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage. Again to fear. So mark spirit of bondage. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption. I want you to mark the spirit of adoption. Now, some of you will see what I'm doing here. What I've done in my Bible is to mark those two things. And I'm looking at them in the same color. So that I can contrast them. One is the spirit of bondage, which raises servants and slaves. The other one is the spirit of adoption, which raises what? Sons. It says, because we have received not the spirit of bondage. And I see that many times some Christians live as if what they received was the spirit of bondage. And every such bondage that has come as a result, maybe a result of wrong teaching, a result of wrong exposure in people's lives that have made us not have the mentality of sons, but the mentality of slaves. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. The Bible says we have not received the spirit of bondage. In the place of that, we receive the spirit of adoption. It says by that spirit, what do we cry? Abba, Father. Everybody cry with me this morning. Say, Father. Father. Let's do it one more time. Say, Father. When you do that this morning, there is a connection with the Spirit of God from within you. And that's what you see in verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says the Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit. Come on, look at this. It says the Spirit and your spirit, they're coming. Now, remember the story? Because you are sons, is why they sent the Spirit into your heart. When the Spirit now arrives into your heart, it now begins to tell the same story. Every time, listen to this, every time anything from outside tries to make you doubt the story, the Spirit that came begins to witness to your spirit that you are what? That you are what? That you are children of God. You are sons of God. Because it is, you were already a son of God before he came. That's why he came. But his job now is to make sure that you never lose sight of the fact that you are a son of God. So the Bible says the Spirit then begins to bear witness. You imagine, you know, this kind of thing. If you wake up in the morning and there is, let's say you are married and you have this husband. When you wake up in the morning, every morning you wake up, the first thing you hear is you are a bad woman. You are a bad woman. You know, there's nothing you can do. You will become a bad woman. If you wake up in the morning and you say to your child every morning, the first thing they hear is whatever is that first thing they hear, they will become it. The Spirit of God, how did you see it in that sense, is constantly 24/7 bearing witness in your heart that what? That what, people? That you're the Son of God. The devil and all his attempts, sometimes you face things in life. Sometimes things happen to you in life that make you begin to think like, am I really? I mean, you come to church and somebody gives a testimony of how good God has been to them. It was meant to encourage people. Sometimes it doesn't encourage some people, because some people will look and say, how come that one has this testimony? That one has that testimony. Look at what God has done. Look, what about me? There is nothing. The Spirit of God is there. In spite of anything, wherever you might find yourself right now, witnessing inside you, and he's saying to you, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. And I joined with him this morning, and I raised the voice loud. Sometimes the voice of the things happening outside, the voice is louder than the voice of the Spirit inside you. But this morning, I give expression to that witness of the Holy Ghost that is claiming and witnessing inside you. You are children of God. I said, you are children of God. I stand this morning in that confidence. God is my Father. And he's a father who says, I can do the job by myself. I don't want you to name any other person as your father. I can handle it alone. That's this God. Look at verse 17 this morning. He says, and if children. Do you remember what we read? Galatians 4 verse 6. Where it says, if you are sons. Because you are sons. And if, this is the same thing here. He's saying, and if you are children. My God, many come to church, few are children. He says, and if you are children, then you are heirs. Heirs of God. Remember one of the things I said about the father at the beginning of this morning? I said the father loves his offspring. Because he loves them, he provides for them with all of his means. You only don't have it if he does not have it. So, the fact that you have a father does not mean you have everything. You only have what he has, isn't it? So, we're talking this morning about this father. This father who said, leave me alone with being your father. I can handle it. Look at it. He says, and if children, then you are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Remember, Christ was the first son who they gave so that they can get many more sons. He says, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. Let me make a statement here that I think you can understand now. Then I'll go and read verse 16 from, let me read first of all verse 16 from the Amplified Bible. Verse 16 that we just read just now. I'll read it from the Amplified. And then I'll make a statement there. Then we'll go and read our next scripture. Is everybody still in church with me this morning? You'll enter into 2020 with this thing. God. My father. Come on. It changes things. The Amplified in verse 16 says, the Spirit himself. And this is where sometimes the work that the Spirit has to do is made more difficult if you are not in agreement. Because what he wants to do is he wants to testify together with your spirit. He wants to be saying something and your spirit is agreeing with it. But when that revelation is not in the human spirit, then the work that the Holy Ghost has to do is a lot more difficult. He says the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our spirit. That's what I want you to see here. It testifies together with our spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. I love that. It says the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit, assuring us. Be assured this morning in the name of Jesus. Assuring us that we're children children of God. Listen to this. The degree to which you are assured of his fatherhood is the degree to which you can enter into your inheritance. Do you understand that? Let me say that again. Because he said, if you are sons, then you are heirs. The degree to which you are assured, and that's my job this morning, to deepen the degree of your assurance. Like we read in the Amplified Bible, where he said, assuring us. The degree to which you are assured of God's fatherhood is the degree to which you can enter into your inheritance. In 2020, the revelation of God as Father will be so huge in your heart that you will find it a lot easier. Because, and if you are a son, then you are the heir of God. The more you understand you are a son, the more you enter into your inheritance. If you understand that this morning, my job is done, even though I'm not yet finished. John, let's read. Those of you that have been coming to the discipleship class will remember this. You must have done in Hosea chapter 2, verse 16, where God said, in that day, you will no longer call me. He said, in that day, you will begin to call me Ishi. You will no longer call me Bali. He said, you will no longer call me master. Servants have masters. He says, you will call me your husband. That's what we're talking about. That translation into a different relationship. That's what I'm talking about this morning. John chapter 1. I'll read in John chapter 1. I read in John chapter 5, I read in John chapter 8, and then we'll read in John chapter 20, a journey through the book of John. And as we go through this journey, you will see how Jesus evolved in his talking about God as Father in each of them. John chapter 1, verse 12, we will read. John 5, we'll read verse 16, 17, and 18. John 8, 54, and then John 20, verse 17. John chapter 1, let's begin from there. John chapter 1 in verse 12. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hey, are you understanding something this morning? So, John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he dunamis, power, to become. He gave them what? He gave them, actually the word there is not dunamis, it's exousia, it's authority. He gave them authority to become what? To become sons of God. So, what is happening here is this. Jesus, at the beginning of his life and ministry, is saying the goal, the essence, the what I want to achieve at the end of this is this. I want to translate people who have been slaves and servants, I want to give them power. And the fact that he says, I want to give them authority, means that there will be things that will be fighting against that authority. And we'll see things fighting against it in the next few scriptures. There will be things that will fight against you claiming your right to be a son of God. He says, so I give you the power, I give you the authority to be the son of God. That's what I came to do. Let's go to chapter 5. So everybody understands, I have come. I want to give people power that they can say I'm a son of God. That's why I have come. John chapter 5. I think we'll begin to read in verse 16 there. So you see Jesus making a claim. And that will show you very quickly the opposition that we're talking about. So the Bible says in verse 16, everybody there? Okay, verse 16. It says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and they sought to slay him. Because he had done the miracles that he did them on a Sabbath day. Religious people, they wanted to kill him because he has done a miracle on a Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day is a holy day when nobody should do any work. So how come he has gone to heal somebody? So they are looking for him to kill him. And Jesus is like somebody who they want to burn you. And then you go and cream your body with petrol. So, verse 17, they're looking for him to kill him because he has performed a miracle on a Sabbath day. Look at this story very well. But Jesus answered them and said, my Father worketh hitherto. and I walk. Verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath. By now, breaking the Sabbath is now a very small sin. The biggest sin now is, but he said also that God was what? Now, these are not Muslims or evil people. These are Jews here. These are people that have served God, people that have followed the laws of Moses. Their initial anger for looking to kill him was what? Talk to me. Was what, people? Breaking the Sabbath. And then when they are looking for to kill him or breaking the Sabbath, he now stands and says, my father. Call God your father. So now, they are even, Bible says, they were all the more ready to kill him. They said because he called God his father. Now, there is an understanding that they had. And I pray that all of us will get that understanding this morning. Why were they so angry that he called God his father? Look at the last part of verse 18. They said, you called God your father. Because if he is your father, you make yourself equal with him. Let me look at the word equal here for you this morning. The word equal there means similar in amount and kind. It means you agree, you are like him. You know, when I read this and I understood this, the last couple of weeks, this is what I've been saying every day in church. I've been saying, if I lay my hands on you, just like God lays his hands on you, you get healed. If I speak a word to you, just like God has spoken to you, it will have an impact in your life. Because he's my father, I'm like him. Are you with me this morning? That's exactly what angered them. It angered them. They said, how can you call God your father? Because if he is your father, he's not our father. For us, Abraham is our father. For us, God is master, he's king. We bow. You now come from nowhere and call him your father. If he's your father, you'll be similar to him. You'll be able to do the kind of thing that he does. You will be like him. You will have authority like him. If you speak, your words will have power like his words have power. And may God give you a revelation this morning. Jesus stood. He said, my father is walking. Because he's walking, because I'm his son, I am walking as well. Somebody begins to attack you and begins to say, why should you do this? Why do you say that? He said, because my father is walking. I have no choice. I have to walk. Are you with me this morning? Why do you cast out devils? I look and I found that God was casting out devils, so I cast out devils. Why do I say this morning that there is healing in this house? Because I listened to him and he said there is healing in the house, so I spoke like he spoke. And because he's my father, he said, you're similar. They said, you make yourself equal to him. You make yourself similar. You make yourself like him. You make yourself get results like he gets. Oh, this revelation of God as your father is a lot more than call yourself, I am from the family of what? No. This is a serious matter here. We become like him. So you understand that this morning. Say with me, God, my father. So we began, remember, I'm tracing Jesus in the book of John. He began and said, I have come. What I want to achieve is I want to give the people the power to become sons of God. We go to chapter 5, and he declared himself a son of God. Declared himself as a man. He was a man. Declared himself God, my father. And people were fighting him. Let's go to chapter 8. Chapter 8, 8:54. That's a very interesting one where Jesus made a very, very smart comparison between where he stood as far as God was concerned and where they stood. John chapter 8, verse 54. Are you enjoying this, my story this morning? Or am I just by myself? Because I can tell you I'm enjoying myself here. John chapter 8, verse 54. Bible says, and Jesus answered them, and he said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me. That my Father is the same person of whom you people say that he is your God. It is your business that you stay at the level of calling him your God. But I call him my father. Do you see this morning? He says he's the same person. But you people call him your God. But I call him my father. The question this morning is, what do you call him? Oh, I choose to call him father. I choose this morning the depths of my spirit to take him on as father. Let's now go to John chapter 20 at the end of his life. The Lord showed me this. I hope I'm doing it well enough to show you like he showed it to me. Look at this, John 20 and in verse 17. Jesus then said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. You notice all the way through here, he always said, my father, my father, my father. My father, your God. He says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my father. And for the first time, he says, and your father. Actually, in this sentence here, it looks to me like Jesus did what he always did up till this point. Initially, he said, I'm going to my father. He said, don't touch me because I have not gone to my father. Then he realized, actually, things have changed. Things have changed. In the very same verse, the next time he said, I am ascending to my father. And oh, what pleasure. Now your father. When I came in John chapter 1, I came so that I might give power for them to become sons of God. Now I have died, I've shed my blood, I've risen from the dead. I can now do what I came to do. I've given you power to become sons. Now he's your father. He said, I'm ascending to my father and to your father. Everybody say with me this morning, God my father. Say it one more time, God my father. A revelation of God your father in your spirit will transform your very life. Many Christians serve him and go to church, but they've never known him as father. Let me now begin to preach. Having laid the foundation. I'm serious now. Sometimes I'm joking, but now I'm serious. Because look, if I come and tell you all these stories I've told you, and I don't tell you the one I'm about to tell you now, it's a waste of time. Because what I'm about to tell you now is, if you know him as father, what things will begin to happen? Should I tell you or not? Yes, sir. You want me to tell you? So if you want me to tell you, take your wristwatch and put it in your pocket. Don't let the devil, actually the time may be wrong. The devil may be speeding your wristwatch up. I haven't spent that much time. It only feels like that. If God is your father, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things that will happen if he's your father. However, I don't have to tell you all of them. The moment I sense that you've had enough, then I will stop. Agree? You know, like when Paul was preaching, Bible says, as he was preaching, he got to a point. He perceived that somebody had faith. So, at the point that he perceived that somebody had faith, there was a point where there was a man on the window. The man, Paul had preach. The man slept and fell off. So, nobody is sleeping and falling off yet. Number one, if you know him as your father, you will hear his word differently. Because it will sound, let's use a German word here, it will sound anders, to sound different. Let me explain what I mean by that. Say, let me look for couples in the house here. Who is a very romantic man here in church this morning? Mr. Blair raised his hand. That is a very romantic man. So, I'll take him. Let's say he writes a very romantic letter to his wife. Does he? He does. Because how can he say he's romantic if he doesn't write? I used to write also until when my head became bald, I stopped writing. So, he writes a romantic letter to his wife. When the woman reads it, this is from my husband. Oh, she cries. Oh, my husband. And then she takes that letter from her husband. my husband.
Now takes that letter and brings it to her friend and says, look at the letter my husband wrote me. Then the friend reads it. Is that why you're crying? It's the same letter. But if it's not written to you, it sounds anders. When you know him as Father, the next time you pick this Bible, my friends, the color is different. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? I don't need to say more. Number two. If you know him as Father, you will pray differently. The way you pray will be completely different. You know, they came to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. The first thing Jesus said, he said, when you pray, say, our Father. So that's how you come and pray. Say, our Father. Luke 11, let's read the scripture there. In verse 8, there is that parable of Jesus. When you have a revelation of God as Father, prayer stops being this begging the master to please do something. I'm a servant, I'm begging him. It becomes, I've learned now, when things happen and I need God to do things in my life, the first thing I begin to do is pray in the Spirit to get his mind on it, to get his understanding on it. I pray in the Spirit. That might take a day, it might take an hour, it might take a week, whatever time it takes. Then I come to a point where I think I know his mind on it. Then I begin to speak what he said, what his mind is. I just begin to call forth those things. So the times when I am now saying, oh God, and do this, I beg you, I ask you, please do this. Those are a lot less or almost gone. Most of the time now I'm coming and having understood his mind, I'm now calling those things, calling them in the place of prayer. And so prayer is completely different. So look, go to Luke 11, do we have it? Luke chapter 11. And then in verse 8, you know the story before this? The story before this is about this man that came in the night. I was knocking on the door of his friend and say, I have some visitors and please lend me some flour that I can be able to make something for them. Then in verse 8 here, Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Now that word importunity is a very old word that we don't use today, but we've taught it in the church to mean that you keep on asking and asking over and over. How many people have had it taught that way? That the word importunity means again and again. Actually, the word importunity has nothing to do with again and again. The word importunity, actually, the NIV has it best. The NIV calls it shameless audacity. The word importunity actually means you have this confidence. What makes you think you can come and knock my door at night? That's the sense. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? They've taught us in Sunday school that this means you keep on importunity. Importunity has nothing to do with you keep on asking the same thing over and over. No. It's talking about your audacity. If you read it in the NIV, like I said, the NIV calls it because of his shameless audacity. He comes like a son. He comes, Bible says it was in the middle of the night. The man said, hey, friend, my children are already in the bed with me. What gives you such audacity to come and knock my door at this time? Because I know that I have a right with you, is what he's talking about. So prayer becomes something else entirely when we do this. You come with importunity. Everybody say importunity. I hope I have time to teach that properly another time. What will happen when you know him as Father? You will read the Bible differently. Number two, you will pray differently. Number three, you will go to him first. You will go to him first. When things happen, you will go to him first before you begin to look for other things. You will go to him first. If not that time is gone, I would have told you a story that happened to me myself. Very interesting one. Who wants to hear? I know you like story. Even if it means not reading the scriptures that we want to read, you like to hear story. I'll tell you story, but it means that we're here today. So a couple of weeks ago, I want to do, for now, don't even try to imagine what it is. I'm going to quote this. I want to do something. So I go and I say, to do this thing that I want to do, what is required? And they said to me, to do it, you'll have to do this. When you do this, then you can do this. I said, very good. So I got together all the things I needed to do A, so that B, which is extremely important to me, can be done. This was in Kuwait. So I got everything ready to do A. And I went to the office to do it. The first person I met says, go to that woman. I went to that woman. That woman was very nice to me and told me to sit in a very nice seat and got all the paper from me and began to do it and put it in the computer and did everything. I was doing everything. Then she got to a point and said, oh, because of this, she saw something there. So because of this, it cannot be done. I can't do it. I'm sitting there knowing I want to do B. If she doesn't do this, I can't do that. So the first thing I did is I took the papers from her. I haven't tried my best to convince her. She says, no, sir. You know when somebody is very polite to you, he's calling you sir, but he says no, all the same. So I went, in the same office, I went to her boss, the boss. And I explained to the boss, and the boss says, okay, do it. The boss wrote. So I took the paper, and I went back to her. And I said, the boss said you should do it. And she looked at it, and she said, then he will do it himself. So he picked the phone and called the boss and wrote something in Arabic on the thing. I didn't know what she wrote. And gave me the paper to take back to the boss. So I took my paper and I went back to the boss. The boss read what she wrote. The boss called her on the phone. They spoke. I didn't understand what they were saying. The boss put down the phone and said, my brother, it cannot be done. So I took my paper and I got off the place. And I'm thinking now, I am not at this stage thinking of God as my father. I would have gone to him first. The thing that came to my mind is, I have this guy in my office. He is a Kuwaiti. He's from a very powerful Kuwaiti family. He will sort this for me. So I went to the office and I told him. I said, Nawaf, this happened. I need you to sort this for me. Nawaf says, don't worry. 1 hour later, Nawaf comes back to me and says, my cousin works in that office, but he's on holidays right now. He will call me back. I've sent him a message and it will be sorted. How am I feeling? Good, man. I've got, in Kuwait, we call when you have connection, they call it wasta. Everybody say wasta. So I said, I have wasta. So I'm ready. So we go. Cousin does not call. Cousin does not return. We get back to the office the next day. Now wife sees me, greets me, starts talking other things, does not talk about my case. By this time, I remembered I have a father. So I come back and I repent. I say, Father, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. I think normally this wasta would have worked. But because you said only one is your father. So I said, okay, God, let's just assume all that did not happen. You alone are my father. What are you thinking about this matter? Then the Lord spoke to me in his mercy. He said, what do you want to happen? I said, B is what I want to happen. He said, so why are you wasting your energy on A? He said, you just call B as haven't happened. I said, eh? So I forgot about Nawaf and his wasta. And I began to speak. I said, I don't care about A not happening. I said, B is happened in the name of Jesus. I call you down in the name of Jesus. Because my father said I should say it, just like him. I started saying it. You know what happened? Within a couple of days, B was done. But A was still not done. Then I asked myself, I didn't really care about A. I don't care. Up to today, A was not yet done. But B has been long done, achieved even beyond what I thought it would be. Then I come back and say, ah, okay, you are my, from today. Because you alone want to be my father, you'll be the first place I'll go to. Do you understand that this morning? I learned it personally. I learned it. I mean, when a Kuwaiti wasta fails in Kuwait, the cousin did not even respond. In fact, when I shook Nawaf's hand on Friday, I said, see you, I'm traveling. Yeah, bless you, have a nice journey. This is it. He did not even respond. He didn't even say anything. Ah, flesh will fail you. Number four, if you know him as your father, you go to him first. Number five, you will trust him when you are in trouble. I'm talking to people this morning. Eh? It's 5. 4 is in the spirit. I'm running. Just call it 5. Believe. Let God speak to you, number 4. Number 4 is a private one for you. He will talk to you. Leave it blank. 5. This is 5. You trust him in your trouble. Some may trust in horses. Some may trust in chariots. But we will trust in the name of our God. How many people know that song? That's how you know Christians that have been Christians for a long time. All these 2018 Christians. Number 5. You will cast your cares on him. That's another 5. Call it the numbers like you like. If you know him as Father, you will cast your cares on him. You know why? 1 Peter 5 verse 7, you know what he says? It says, casting all your cares upon him. But why? How can you cast your cares upon him? Because you understand. Are you with me, people? That he careth for us. If you don't understand that love, that fatherly love, it's difficult to cast your cares. I ask everybody that is carrying loads of care this morning, cast it upon him as your Father. That's what we're going to do in the next couple of minutes. Number 6. Number 7. You will believe when you ask. Give me Matthew 7. Let's take it from verse 7. You will believe if you know him as Father. When you ask for something, you'll believe it. Matthew 7. Let's take it from verse 7. Okay? I'll really quickly come with me. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and it shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh does what? There are many times we think we asked, but we didn't. As far as it's concerned, every time asking takes place, receiving follows it. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be what? Verse 9. It says, or what man is there of you? Now cast your mind back to how we started today. We're ending there as well. What man is there of you, thinking of yourself as a natural father, whom if his son will ask bread, what man among you will give him a stone? The next verse goes in the same light. He says, if your son, I'm not talking about any other person on the streets now, he said, if your son will ask you for a fish, what man among you will give him a serpent? Now, stay there a little bit. You know, I've heard this taught many times in the past where people say, you know, when we come to God and we ask God for anything, there are many answers God could give us. God could tell us yes, or he could tell us no, or he could tell us wait a little, or he could tell you that is too big, I'll give you this. But the Bible is saying this morning, he said, forget about God, think about us, human beings, natural human beings. You have bread. Your son comes and asks you for bread, and you give him a stone. No human being does that. He says, you have fish. Your son comes and asks you for fish, and then you give him a serpent. Do you do that? Do we do that? Now, the next verse, people, he says, if you then. Now, when he says they're being evil, he's saying, relative to God, if I compare you to God, are you better off? Are you nicer? Answer me, people. Are you nicer? No, he says, so if you, where you are, don't even do that. Now, this scripture that I'm reading here really so blessed me, really so helped me. If I ask him for anything, I believe I call it done. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. The moment that person is marked as your child, you know how to give them good gifts. My friends, how much more? Again, mark how much more in your Bible. I have it marked in my Bible. glowing red. How much more shall who?
So, really, this kind of scriptures, you cannot take full advantage of them until you have a revelation of Father.
He says, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them?
Now, in this scripture, who are the them?
The sons.
How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to them?
To them who ask him.
They come and ask him. I take this in front of me. I believe when I ask, it's done. Because I ask as a son. Do you understand?
My last point. Let me take one more. Just one more.
You will respond to his correction.
If you know him as Father,
you will respond to his correction. Hebrews 12. Let's read this together as well on the screen. Hebrews 12. I'll take it from verse 5. And that's the way I'll close it this morning. God our Father.
This will be a moment in life for you to remember.
I said this morning will be a moment in life for you to remember.
Because God then comes and takes that place alone. Call no man your father, for one is your father, which is in heaven.
Hebrews 12. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. He says, he calls you my son. He says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Verse 6. He says, for whom the Lord what? The son that he loveth, he chastens, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Verse 7 is actually quite interesting. He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. It says, for what son is he whom the father does not chasten? So, in our being sons this morning, I said you will respond to his rebuke. It says, if you, and I love this verse 7 here. It says, okay, you're already a son. You're a son. Agreed. But it says, if you endure chastening, it says, then God deals with you as with sons. Will I be right then to say that his dealings with you may not be as he's dealing with a son if you don't endure chastening? Are you listening at this? Are you looking at this with me this morning? It says, you're a son. But the way he deals with you, he will deal with you the way he deals with a son if you are somebody who endures chastening. The chastening of the Lord in our lives is primarily the voice of the rebuke of the Holy Spirit. That's the chastening of the Lord in our lives. He doesn't chasten us with sickness and disease and poverty and pain and all that. That's the work of the devil. But the primary chastening of the Lord in our lives is when the Holy Spirit begins to rebuke you. And if you're somebody, you just ignore that. You ignore it. Many of you listening to me this morning, he comes and advises you and talks to you. No, he doesn't advise. He comes and instructs you. He says to you, he speaks to you, and you ignore. What are you doing? You are not enduring chastening. Everything I've been preaching this morning, this is the core of it. This is the root of it. If he's a father, remember what he said? He said, if I'm a father, where is my honor? He said, if you endure chastening, God will deal with you the same way he deals with sons. He says, for what son is he? Let's think even naturally. Those of us who have fathers. How many of you were ever spanked by your father? Particularly if you have an African father. You were spanked by your father. My father? Bless him in heaven. Sometimes I look at my children today and I say, you don't know nothing. But as much as I love my children, they have received spectacular spankings. He says, for what son is he whom the father does not chasten? And because our relationship with God is not a physical relationship, so like my physical children, it's a physical relationship, so there is physical chastening. It's a spiritual chastening we get from God because he's the father of spirits. So the next verse, verse 8, the Bible now says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all the other sons
In this family, they partake of it, but you decide, I will not listen. He says, then are you, boo? You know, when you listen to TV and some words come with boo, even the Bible now this morning, we have to use boo. He says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you, boo, and not sons. Physically, you can't call me your father if I can't talk to you. Just physically speaking. Biologically or even spiritually. Somebody says, oh, pastor, you are my spiritual father. Am I your father? We will find out one day. The day that we'll find out is coming. The day that you want to go left and I say, no, go right. Then we will know if I'm your father. So he says here, he says, if you are without chastisement, whereof every other person that is a son is a partaker, then you are not sons. How many sons are in the house this morning? You will endure. Let's read a few more verses here quickly. Verse 9. It says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. It says naturally, it's a natural thing. Even physical fathers do that. It says, shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. It says, for they, our physical parents, for they verily, for a few days, chasing God after their own pleasure. After their own pleasure, that means as far as they could understand, as far as they could see. That's what it means there when it says after their own pleasure. It says based on what they understood for now. It says, but God chasing us for our profit. He is always right. And when he does it that we may be partakers of his holiness. Remember, they came to Jesus and said, how can you call God your father? You're making yourself equal to him. Yeah, that's what God wants. God chastens us so that we become partakers of his nature. Partakers of his holiness. I'll read one more verse in verse 11. It says, now, no chastening, for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. It says, nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereof. If you take him as father this morning, put your hands together and rise on your feet. Rise on your feet and let's begin to pray and begin to declare this morning, you are my father. You are my father. Everybody, you want to have a personal time with God this morning, begin to declare him as your father. In any area of your life where anything threatens you, let's take just a few minutes and just speak to God and say, Lord, you said, call no man your father. And so I declare this morning in my life, my existence, my destiny, you alone are my father. Everybody talk to God. Talk to God, everybody. Talk to God, everybody. Say, you alone are my father. Don't get distracted. Let's do that very quickly. A few minutes this morning. Say, Father, you alone are my Father. I take your word. I take my prayer. I cast all my cares. I trust you absolutely. But I call you my Father this morning. I call you alone, my Father. Please don't look around right now. Close your eyes if you need to. And just declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, I call no man. Nobody takes the place. Nobody takes the place in my life that fulfills all of this. You are the root of my existence. You are the love of my life. You have plans for my future are in your hands. My past, my present, my future, all in your hands this morning. I declare you as Father in the name of Jesus. I cast my cares upon you. Those things that bother me, those things that worry me, those things that make me afraid of tomorrow. I cast my cares upon the Lord. I cast my cares upon the Lord in the name of Jesus. I cast my cares upon the Lord this morning. We are going to come to the table of the Lord this morning. And when we come to the table of the Lord this morning, you are making a covenant of fatherhood with God. Where you are declaring, God, you are my father. Everybody pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit as you come to the table of the Lord this morning. Church, pray. Please pray. Please pray. Nobody else qualifies. to be my father. You are my father this morning. I carry your family name. Begin to look at the things going on in your life, the plans for your future, the past things that threaten you. Look at them in the light of God as your father. My God, my father walketh and I walketh. I make myself similar. I make myself like him this morning. I take on his name. I take on his cloak. I'm a son of God. For this purpose, the son of one man was manifested. For this purpose this morning, that he might, as many as believe on him, he gave them the power. Come on. The power to become sons. I have a revelation of a son. The revelation of a son this morning. Which son will ask the father for fish and the father will give him a serpent? No, it doesn't happen. Which son will ask the father for bread and the father will give him a stone? No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I stand before my father this morning in the name of Jesus. God, my father, the spirit within me is crying, Abba, Father. The spirit within me is crying this morning, Father, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Father, we come this morning.